Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is a podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate national treasure 1 minute at a time. I'm Hugh from HughKeen.com.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to be talking about minute six of National Treasure. Minute six starts with the young Ben Gates kneeling in front of his grandpa to be knighted. And then it ends with two huge snowmobile truck thingies in the north of the Arctic Circle. So you can go first, I guess.
You got it.
Okay.
I don't know where my information falls.
Okay.
I think mine comes from towards the end of the minute. So.
Okay. So one of my first impressions was National Treasure, the title. The title card shows up during this minute, and it only stays on the screen for like 4 seconds. And that's just like barely any time to read National Treasure. it just seemed like it was on and off really fast. And I was just thinking of other examples where this happens, and like this happens in Lord of the Rings where they put the title over. Like it's not just on a blank or colored screen. It's like over footage on the movie. So that's just an example, and it lasts longer than 4 seconds, I'm sure. So I don't know if they just couldn't find a great spot to put it or what. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that it was just sort of plain.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there was nothing really special
That's
about
true
it.
Too.
So
the font wasn't anything like fancy either.
Yeah. So I guess they just didn't really care about it that much.
I guess not. We'll get back to that later, I think. Another thing I had was I didn't really understand. I mean, I understand why they did it, but the transition between young Ben to old Ben was sort of sloppy in how it was done. First of all, because the whole time he's talking to his grandpa, he's looking at his grandpa. And then there's just a cut, and it's him like looking down at the book and then looking up. So it was obvious that the director was probably just like, okay, we need a shot of him looking up to hook into our intro shot of Nicolas Cage. And on top of that, Nicolas Cage is wearing sunglasses. So, like, we don't even get to see eyes to eyes, you know? Like, it's still weird. So, I feel like it was something where they were, like, either thought of it on the spot or they had it planned out and they just couldn't execute it in, like, it just wasn't done, like, well, I didn't think.
Did they think this him having sunglasses on was that important? Cause I feel like I wouldn't have noticed if he didn't have it on, even though the snow is really bright. Like, I wouldn't have put that connection together.
Either.
So they should just not
well,
have them.
Now that I think about it, is the other guy in the passenger seat wearing glasses? I don't think he is. I think Nicolas Cage is the only one wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, and I don't even think he's squinting. But maybe his eyes are sensitive. And since he's driving, he has to have them on. Who knows?
I don't know. I just thought that was, I mean, I know, like, it's just sad because, like, I knew, we all know what they were trying to do with that transition. They're trying to make a cool transition, but it just didn't really happen as well as it could have. So maybe they just didn't have the time, but that's fine. Okay, the next stuff I have is just pretty in-depth. So do you have anything else that's sort of on the surface?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I have one surface thing, but it's sort of related to my other thing.
Okay.
So we'll just wait.
Then I'll just finish talking about the title card and this transition that sort of goes together. It's sort of like another thing I thought was weird was we transitioned from the young boy straight to Nicolas Cage's face driving, and then that shot is on screen for like 5 seconds, and then we immediately just get these huge wide open shots of the trucks. Like, there's no dialogue or anything. We just get a random Nicolas Cage face, and then we get these things going over the snow for like 4 more shots, and that's the whole rest of the minute. So I don't understand why they didn't just have it in the cut end on the grandpa's face. We don't show the boy or Nicolas Cage after that. We just go straight to the bit loud music.
Oh.
We go straight to the loud music, and we go straight to the scene, the shots of everything, and then we get the intro of Nicolas Cage with his dialogue. Because that would just, I mean, like, it seemed like they wanted the transition so bad, they just put Nicolas Cage in there randomly, and it just, like, throws off, like they could have just cut at the grandpa saying, like, or, like, the grandpa knighting him. They could have just cut there, and then they could have just went straight to the loud music and the title card right away. So we're like, boom, National Treasure. But for some reason, we got Nicolas Cage before that. And I think it's only because they wanted to do the transition. And so it just, yeah.
Because they easily could have just made it known in the dialogue that that's who it was. Like, we would have been able to figure out that that was older Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think so. But you're right. I didn't even think about that, though. Like, they, I guess what you're saying is they did it because they wanted us to know which one of the people was supposed to be grown up Ben. And I guess that makes sense. That's the only way to do it with that transition. Or we would have, we might have thought Riley was Ben or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. That, I guess that part helps with that. But surely they could have found a better way of doing it, in my opinion. Okay, so the first thing I really wanted to talk about was these snow trucks. Is this what you researched?
Nope.
Okay.
Do you have an official name for them?
Yes.
Okay.
I have everything you would ever want to know about them.
Okay. I thought about looking them up and I didn't.
They are called the Tucker Snowcat 2000XL.
Like that specific, like those specific ones?
So Tucker is the brand. Like Tucker Snowcats are what these vehicles are called. But the model that they're driving is the 2000XL. And XL stands for extra light. And their slogan as a company is no road too steep, no snow too deep. They're an American-made brand. They've been around for quite a while. And the catch line for this particular model is, it is the perfect four-passenger choice for mountaintop access, military, search and rescue, and more. And I saw that a lot of rich people who have, like, mountain estates, mountainside estates, like, purchase these just so they can access their vacation home. And it's the most popular snowcat model for personal purchase, and current ones that, like, are made now that are sold for personal use, they go for $125K.
Oh my goodness. New. What in the world?
And it said that vintage ones are even more expensive, because they were built more sturdy, I guess, and they're just rarer, and everything that's rare is worth more. So these ones that they're driving in this movie could probably be considered vintage at this point, because I guarantee they weren't brand new whenever they shot this, probably. So that means who knows how much these ones that they're driving are worth now. But, yeah.
That's like the cost of a house in some places.
Like here.
Yeah.
You could get a house cheaper than that.
Oh,
here.
My word. I don't understand.
Anyway, I just thought that was super cool. I don't think I've ever seen vehicles like this in any other movie. And there's something about seeing them drive across the snow like they are in the opening shot that's very memorable to me. And it's like one of the scenes I remember from this movie from the first time I watched it. So I don't know what it is about these things, but I just think they look super cool. So yeah, there's your information on if you ever want one of these vehicles, you want a Tucker Snowcat.
I want, like, how much does an RV cost? 'Cause at least you can live in an RV, you know?
Yeah, but you can't climb a snow mountain in an RV.
I guess if you have that much money to spend on one, then you're not hurting.
Yeah, I mean, the people who spend money on these have already spent who knows how much money on their, like, buildings up in the mountains somewhere. So that's all I had. So
now I know.
Yep. It's your go.
Oh, okay. Well, the stuff that I talked about or that I looked up was how he mentions Henson and Perry.
Okay.
And so, okay, I branched out and I didn't just look on Wikipedia for my information, but that is where I started. Anyway, okay, so together they did 7 voyages to the Arctic over a period of 23 years. So in total, they were together for 18 of those years, like doing expeditions.
Wow.
Okay, so Henson is an interesting guy. So he was born 1 year after the Emancipation Proclamation, like the end of the Civil War, which is important because he was a black guy. And he eventually became an orphan and he worked on a ship. And then I think it was after the owner of the ship died, he left that. And then he worked at a clothing store. And that's where he worked, or that's where he met Perry. Because Perry came in to look for like expedition clothes or something.
Like Perry,
or gear.
The guy who, yes, is who the owns other guy. Perry shoes.
Huh?
I'm just Perry kidding.
Oh.
Like Perry's. Oh, Sperry's. Sperry. Darn it.
Oh my gosh. I was confused. Okay. And anyway, yes. So they met. And before they went to the, okay, eventually they found the North Pole. Okay, that's the big thing that they did, was they found the North Pole. But before nice. That, they discovered the third largest intact meteorite.
Mm.
Weighed 31 tons. And obviously they got a bunch of money for it. And I think they donated it to some museum. So that's how they funded the rest of their expeditions. So then in 1909, that's when that was like their last attempt to find the North Pole. Because they had tried other times before that.
Okay.
And they were getting, they were like in, I think Perry was in his 50s maybe. So they were sort of getting to the age where they don't, like they can't handle that kind of stuff anymore.
Okay.
And so, long story short, they find the North Pole. But then there was tensions over who was the first one to actually like
reach. How did they know they found the North
Pole? It had something to do with latitude and longitude.
Okay.
They knew the coordinates or something. They used some specific tools to know that.
Okay.
So there was a debate over who was actually the first one to like put their foot on the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And Henson claimed it was him, like in newspaper articles following it. And then Perry, Henson said that Perry was sort of, okay, here's a pun. He was like cold to him after this happened.
Yeah.
Because I guess he was bitter that he wasn't the first one. But because Henson was a black man, people didn't want to give him credit. You know, they can't have him being the same as Perry, like holding the same status. And so he didn't get recognition for it for a long time. And so Perry was the one who would get the recognition for it and like get credit for being the first one. And there were some people who tried to claim that they had actually reached it beforehand, but that didn't really happen. But anyway, and so, like I said before, they discovered it in 1909, and it wasn't until 1937 that Henson got the credit that he deserved for it.
Wow.
And he got into the prestigious Explorers something, I think.
Museum or something?
Yeah.
Or
like Society or, yeah, Hall of Fame, something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
So, were they the people who might have left a boat there? Or were they just other explorers and that's why? Like, why is Nicolas Cage referencing them in this movie? Just because they were on the north, in the north?
Yeah, so they're in the same area, I guess, because it says at the end of this minute they were in the North Arctic. And he was he said in this minute how, like, they have these big, what are they called? Tucker things?
Yep. Snow cats.
Yeah, but Henson and Perry, all they had were like their dogs and sleds, and there are other people that were there with them. I think it was 22 people. Mm. I don't know if that included them or not. But he was just saying how they braved these conditions with way less technology, and they made it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
As, I guess, his friend there in the vehicle says, extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I just, I mean, I... I would have just assumed they were both white men,
mm-hmm.
if anybody had asked me.
Yeah.
So that's cool that they're not both white men. Do you have anything else?
Well, okay. This is my irrelevant fact of the day.
Okay.
And it doesn't actually have to do with the movie. There wasn't anything, I don't know, in the background that I noticed or anything like that. But whenever I just looked up Arctic Circle, and maybe it's because I do, I don't know, watch a lot of food videos and stuff. But the first thing that popped up in my browser was a food chain called Arctic Circle. Mm. But get this. It's in mainland U.S. It's in the main part of the U.S., you know?
Yeah.
The continental states or whatever.
Continuous 48 or something. Yeah, what they call it.
Which I thought was weird. Why is it not in Alaska? Or
somewhere. There's not a lot of people just going to food chains.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Anyway, there's a lot of them in Utah. It's all of the West, West Coast. I don't know about California, but those states.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of a burger place. Burger and seafood and chicken and shakes. Mm. So.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about location too for the Tucker trucks. The Tucker Snowcats, because they're made in Oregon, as far as I know, is where the company's from.
Hmm.
And then Oregon is a long ways from the north of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Or where they are in the movie, which means they probably didn't film it anywhere close to the Arctic Circle. Like, they probably just filmed it in Oregon somewhere, mm-hmm. or somewhere where there's a lot of snow.
Maybe that they ate at the Arctic Circle also. Because it's in Oregon.
Yeah, okay, I doubt it. But we can only hope.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that wasn't totally irrelevant, I guess.
Thanks.
You let us down.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Is that all you had?
Yep.
Okay. I need to remember next time to look at the screenplay I have to see, how on track with the screenplay this scene of them in the snow is, because I haven't looked at it since the second minute, but I'm just saying that now so I'll remember. All right, well, all I have left now is our actor spotlight for this minute, and today we're going to be talking about Nicolas Cage. Do you want to guess how old he is?
We needed an intro for that.
We have
one?
A little noise
for the actor spotlight. Yeah. Okay. Shows you how much I listen.
Yeah. Does there need to be more?
I haven't even heard it. I don't know. Oh, okay. Maybe you played it for me before, but anyway.
It's just a little, yay.
Okay.
I'm going to cut all this.
Okay.
Do you want to guess how old Nicolas Cage is?
45. Nope.
Nope.
49.
Nope.
53.
Nope.
56.
So close.
57.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, he's 57.
Wait, when was this movie made?
I feel like this
made?
Happens every time we talk about actors. You never think
I'm not
old.
Good at gauging age at all.
This movie was made in 2003. You always make me question this, and I should know.
Well, I was just wondering how old he was when the movie was made. That's all I'm wondering.
I have it written down.
2006?
It was made in 2004.
Oh.
So he would have been 17 years younger than he would have been 40 when this movie was made.
Okay.
I think that math is correct.
Okay.
So his full name is Nicholas Kim Coppola, or Coppola, however you want to say it. And that's important because it's also the last name of one of the most renowned movie directors in Hollywood history. And that's because Nicolas Cage is the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola, who is the director of The Godfather Part 2, and The Godfather Part 3, all movies that you haven't seen somehow.
No, but my dad loves them.
But your dad loves them. I also haven't seen them, but I have less.
Okay,
I have
then.
Less reason.
Okay,
I have
then.
Less reason to having seen them because your dad loves them.
You're
I don't
right.
know how you haven't seen them.
Okay,
but. My family, I don't think anyone in my family has ever told me I should watch The Godfather, so.
Hmm.
I mean, we aren't really into gangster movies so, in my house, so.
I think they're more mobster than gangster.
Okay. I'm not going to have an argument about that. So because of this, Nicolas Cage changed his name. He actually changed it to Cage in order to avoid looking like he was getting favored in the movie industry because of his uncle.
Oh, not related, but remind me to say something at the end of this. Okay.
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 So as always, I usually look up actors' previous movies, which means the movie right before they did National Treasure. And the movie he did before this was called Matchstick Man or Matchstick Men. I never heard of it or seen it. But it has a 82% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. And it has a 74% from the audience out of 100,000 plus reviews.
Seems high.
Yeah, so it did pretty well on both fronts, it seems. And then I always look at an actor's next movie, which is the movie that comes after National Treasure. And his next movie wasn't until the next year, actually, because National Treasure was the only movie he did in 2004. And his next movie was called Lord of War, which I'd also never heard of. And the critics only gave it a 61%, but the audience gave it an 84%, and that's out of 250,000.
Wow.
So that's double the ratings from the audience, and it's 10% better. So I guess it's... for some reason, the critics didn't like it, but I've also never seen that one, so shows how much I watch.
Do you think that it got more... views or reviews was because did National Treasure make Nicolas Cage bigger, and so then more people wanted to watch.
You could make that argument.
More people were inclined to watch his movies then.
Yeah, I would say that probably was the case. I didn't even think of that when I wrote the numbers down. But since there's the audience reviews almost doubled, and National Treasure was such a big movie, there had to have been some correlation. Especially since it was his, like I said, the only movie he did in 2004 was National Treasure, and this was the only movie he did the next year, as far as I remember. So people were probably waiting to see what his next thing was going to be. But let's see. Let's look back at National Treasure itself.
The ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
Do I not have it on here? Oh, so National Treasure only has a 46 on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics.
Oh, well.
But the audience gave it a 76%. So okay. That means the movie before National Treasure was a 74%, National Treasure was a 76, and his next movie was an 86, right? So, 74, 76, 84. So he went up over those 3 years for the audience, at least. In terms of awards, he's won one Academy Award for Best Actor, and that was in 1996 for a movie called Leaving Las Vegas. He was also nominated for Academy Award for Best Actor in 2003. Which was the year before this movie. So he won a Golden Globe for Leaving Las Vegas for Best Actor. And then this is the funniest thing I found about him. But so for the movie that he was starred in the year after National Treasure, Lord of War, he won the award from the Women's Film Critics Circle for most offensive male character.
Oh my goodness.
So I just thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
So offensive characters are celebrated or confused?
It's probably not an award you want to win.
Is it
like a
satirical? Is that the right word? Or like
Yeah.
Like you're making fun of it, so it's not real.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke award. Okay. Like I don't think they're like, yay, you. I mean, because it's the Women's Film Critics Circle.
Yeah.
So like, they were probably actually seriously trying to determine like who played the most offensive male character that year. So he won it, which is funny because that's the movie that was rated so high by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. So I guess we like to watch movies of offensive people.
I would say so.
So.
I mean, just think of Michael Scott. I mean, it's a joke show, but he's incredibly offensive, but it's like everybody thinks it's really funny. Well, not everybody. People think it's really funny.
Yeah, I agree. That's so. One reason I can't watch it a lot because of how Michael Scott is.
The cringe factor.
It's more than cringe. Anyway, that's all I have for Nicolas Cage. I saw that he's been called occasionally he's been called the most generous actor in Hollywood because of how much charity he does, how much donations and fundraisers he does.
I didn't know that.
He was raised Catholic, but he refuses to talk about religion publicly, and he refuses to answer any interview questions that have to do with religion.
Is he married?
I don't remember if it said he was married, but he started dating a girl and they had a kid whose name is Weston Coppola Cage. And Weston has two children, which gives Nicolas Cage two grandchildren.
Wow.
And he was also the lead singer or the one of the founding members of a black metal band.
Weston?
Yeah, Weston was. So, and I think it said his first band disbanded, and then he started another one in 2011. So I don't know if they're still going, but that's all I know about his family. So there was a lot of things about how a lot of critics say that he overacts. And
I agree.
well, Sarah agrees. Okay. So you heard it here first.
I haven't seen
Nicolas Cage overacts.
I don't even know how many movies I've seen him in, but I think in this movie he does.
So just this movie or in the second National Treasure, are those the only two movies you've seen with Nicolas Cage?
I don't
Cage?
Know. Let me look and see.
I mean, he's had a lot of other fellow actors defend him and say that he doesn't overact, he mega acts. And that some people say that he is like one of the only people to do anything new, like with the art of acting, like for his generation of actors. I think it said somewhere that one of his peers calls him the jazz musician of acting. I mean, I think it's something we're going to end up talking about, like more and more as we continue to get into the movie. And we're actually going to get to see him act. And I'm sure like we're going to have somebody on, a guest on at some point that thinks he's not a great actor, and so I didn't want to talk a lot about it right now just because I know it'll probably come up in the future. But personally, I enjoy watching him, and I think it's because like I guess I would agree that sometimes he does overact, but I think that's what makes his movies so funny to me, is because he takes it so seriously, almost. So, I also don't have a wide knowledge of Nicolas Cage movies, but all the ones that I've seen him in, I haven't. I mean, I've never been like, this is a horrible movie. So, maybe I just haven't seen all of them.
Okay, backtracking a little bit, I found out he's been married 4 times.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And it says he starred in, or he was in, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Didn't you see that one?
Yeah, I do. I love that movie.
I don't think
go ahead.
I don't think I've seen any of the other ones he's in besides the two National Treasure movies.
Yeah, he's done a couple animated movies. He's in The Croods, which is out. Second one's in theaters right now. But he's one of the voice actors for that movie, too. So. All right. Well, if that's all we have, then join us next time for minute 7. And I'll remember to look at the screenplay.
Oh, I had something else to say.
Okay.
I think I read this last week or maybe the week before. But Christopher Plummer died.
No way.
Yeah.
Like within the past few weeks or like.
Yeah. Let me look and see. I got an email on the Yahoo top stories or whatever.
Wow. Literally like you're saying this the minute after we stop seeing Christopher Plummer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're right. Weird. He That's died crazy. February 5th. So oh, two wow. weeks ago.
How old was he? 90. I'm going to say he was 90.
Looks like 91.
Wow.
Yep.
Well.
So.
Rest in peace.
Yep.
Christopher Plummer.
Yep.
Shall we sing a Sound of Music song for everyone?
No, thanks. I will okay. I will my head. You can sing.
Okay.
I will That's my head. Fine. Okay.
I mean, I don't have anything else to say, so.
Okay, well.
Okay, so next time we will talk about minute 7. We will talk about the screenplay, and we will have another actor spotlight of the other two people that we have in this scene. So make sure to join us then.
Thanks for listening.